You know, it's always a lesson in humility. And I would say it's a good lesson when you're called on to do something you're not comfortable doing. You know, sometimes I can't figure out why people have trouble getting up at these Share Him series and feel a little uncomfortable. That particular venue I'm fairly comfortable in. The venue this morning, I am not. So I appreciate your prayers and your forgiveness on my behalf. I did feel that even though we don't have a pastor, we needed to have communion. And so that is why we're having communion today in the middle of October. It's a wonderful service, and I hope that we can do it justice here today. Welcome to you all, and thank you for coming to the communion service. The communion service, as we know it, has two important parts. We celebrate it in total as the Lord's Supper. The two parts are the ordinance of humility and the communion service itself. These two components are found beginning in the book of John. And I think there's other references to them as well in the other Gospels, but clearly John has the longest story, the longest account of what happened there that Thursday night, Passover weekend, in what year was it? 31 AD. Okay, you all know that. It was April, middle of April, 31 AD. And John 13 to 17 has actually, there's five chapters there that account for maybe, let's say, 2 or 3 hours worth of Thursday evening. Jesus was just about to head into Gethsemane, and he chose to spend several hours there with his disciples. They're in a fellowship dinner, shall we say, or fellowship supper. And if you want some interesting reading, if you want, shall we say, the best of Jesus, John 13, chapter 13 through 17 is where you want to be. All the important stuff, shall we say, that he had talked to his disciples about, he was summarizing now in John 13 to 17. And so there's several different smaller versions in the other Gospels, but John is very heavy on that time period, which is a wonderful blessing for us. Most common scripture used in the service today, the communion service, is found in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26. And we'll be reading that in a minute if you would like to turn to that. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26. This is part of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, and in this he outlined for them the service of communion. Let's read that together here. For I received of the Lord that which I also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he comes. So the setting is the Passover. It's Thursday evening, somewhere in mid-April, AD 31. Now we know the Passover to be rich in symbolism and imagery. Actually, I was amazed at how much of a parallel there was in this week's Sabbath school lesson to what our communion service is all about, really, when you get down to the core of it. But this event, this Passover event, if you can place yourself in the mindset of the Hebrews of the day, was a commemorative event in remembrance of something that had happened centuries before. What was it? Passover what? The Exodus, okay? Remember, this was a commemorative event recalling how the Israelites, in what was to be the 10th and final plague, were spared death of the firstborn by simply, in faith, putting blood on their doorposts, okay? And their newborn, the firstborn, was saved by this act of faith. And so for centuries, this had been a tradition in the Jewish circles, outlined by God, the Passover service. And that night, like all devout Hebrews of the day, Jesus and his disciples began to celebrate the Passover service. As you know, many, many people, I once read a number, but I can't remember it, but there were a lot of people who had come to Jerusalem. The city was packed, not only for the Passover, but there were many people who came specifically because they'd heard about this one Jesus. And so it was the beginning of the Passover weekend, Thursday evening. That night, Jesus understood that something monumental was happening. Okay, we touched on it briefly in our Sabbath school class. The old covenant was now giving way to the new covenant, was it not? Rudy read out of his version of the Bible, his translation, inaugurated. Jesus was inaugurating a new way of doing things. It had been forecast for centuries that it was going to happen, but this is where symbolism turned into reality, okay? Jesus was inaugurating this event. He was using this fellowship supper event to introduce the next step in the salvation process. That is to say, using his own flesh and blood for the redemption of sins. Now, transition times. I think we probably fail to understand what a big transition time this was. You know, transition times are kind of interesting. In our country, many of you can look back and think of different things that have happened in certain eras or certain decades, and it was a transition time. Some of the younger people will understand that the event that happened on 9/11 in New York City, 9/11 of 01, I think it was kind of signaled a transition time for our country. There's things that are gone on in our country now that are different than it was before. And I know that many of you have other events, but this was a transition time from the old system to the new system, only it was much bigger than 9/11. Okay, way bigger than 9/11. So this four-verse account by the Apostle Paul then lays out for us the pattern or the example of how we worship in the communion service today, how we honor the Lord and celebrate through this wonderful event. We should think of this scenario as a gift of Christ, a gift from Jesus Christ that he was imparting to his bride, the New Testament church, maybe better said, the New Covenant church. Undoubtedly, many a study could be had within the context of these verses, these four verses that we just read. If you want an interesting study, read the next four verses, not during the sermon, but some other time. As wonderful as this service is, it's a very solemn service. And the next four verses will kind of, shall we say, snap us back to reality when we realize the solemnity of what's going on here. Today, we're going to focus on just a short little phrase found in the last part of verse 23 and the first portion of verse 24. Let's just read that again. When he had given thanks, he broke it. Speaking of the bread, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you." That night the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." So that very night, the very night he was betrayed, Jesus did something that he was used to doing. What did he do? He prayed and he gave thanks, didn't he? Yeah, he ate. He did a number of things. But the phrase we'd like to look at this morning, Jesus gave thanks. Let's think about this for the next few moments as we consider the Lord's Supper, the communion service. Jesus was about to die. Now, he knew that. Jesus knew he was going to die. That's why he was here. Okay? He was here for a very specific purpose. He was only 33 years old. Is there anybody here that's 33 here today? Nobody's 33. Uncle Luke is 33. Plus 20. Jamie, how old is Holly? So 33, that's young age. Jesus was just not going to die, however. He was about to be betrayed. He was about to be spit upon. He was about to be shamefully and painfully treated. He was about to be denounced and forsaken. He was about to be taken into a court system that was a sham. He was about to be punished in a degrading fashion, treated with cruelty, and then tortured. And finally, he was about to be nailed to an old rugged cross, naked, and left to die the death of a criminal. The collective sins of the entire planet had been loaded onto him. And that would be your sins and mine. Someone wrote, "He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, but he did not even open his mouth." Yet the Bible records Jesus gave thanks. Do you find that amazing? It's astounding. Almost unbelievable. Definitely unexplainable to the passerby, to the casual passerby. I find myself wondering this morning, what could Jesus have been thankful for? Roll that around in your mind a little bit. Such a time as this, what would cause him to lift his food toward heaven, bread and wine, bread and juice, and offer praise and thanks for what had been given for him? The Bible says Jesus gave thanks. I wonder, could Jesus have been thankful for the place that he was occupying in the great plan of salvation? This was a time now when things were moving along, as we mentioned. The great plan of salvation was being fulfilled. A key point to that. Just think of how long he had waited to plug into this part of the equation. Revelation 13:8 says that Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world. Jim read that text for us last night on the screen. Even before this world was created, there was in place a plan to show the entire universe the ultimate love for the inhabitants of this fallen planet. Perhaps he was thankful that the time had finally arrived when he, the promised one, was here and could implement the job that he had come to do. For sure, it had been a very, very long time. I wonder if he could have been giving thanks because the devil and his evil intentions were being unmasked or unveiled. It was open now for all the universe to see what was really going on in this struggle, in this great controversy war that we've heard so much about. You do realize that it was at the cross that Satan was totally and utterly defeated. Jesus Christ was victorious. He was the only victorious one who came out of that, besides us, shall we say. But Satan was defeated totally at the cross. Turns out, not by accident, the cross of Christ was his finest movement. This was Jesus at his best. Turns out to be the devil's worst nightmare. You might say, for the old devil, it was the beginning of the end for him. It actually was a continuation of the promise that we know from Genesis 3:15. And so this was the next step, shall we say. The promise that was first communicated to mankind there just after they sinned in the garden. Satan was finally exposed for what he really is. That is, the one who hates all that is good and righteous, whether it be on earth or in heaven. In contrast, God was shown to be also exactly what he was, a lover to even the very worst of sinners. Look at what God, through Jesus Christ, is willing to do for you and me. Can you believe it? Look at what he was willing to secure, what he was willing to give up to secure your salvation, to secure a home in heaven for you and me. Well, maybe Jesus was thankful for the sustaining power that his Father kept sending him. Can you imagine how much power it took to keep Jesus alive those last few hours? There must have been this energy flow out of heaven that was just remarkable. Though he would suffer and die under the crushing load of all the weight of the sins of this earth that were placed upon him, Jesus believed his Father would see him through it all. And all the while he was trusting and he was thankful that he could place his life in the hands of his Heavenly Father. That's a good model for us to follow, is it not? Now, is it possible that Jesus was thankful for something else? Any ideas? For the children that would believe on him. Marilyn said, for us. You know, Glenda sings this song, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Excuse me. Jim referred last night in his sermon to the fact that we may have come across Christ's mind as he was on the cross. You think it was possible? I wonder if he was thankful for the Sutherland Seventh-day Adventist Church. What do you think? Was he thankful that we love to share the gospel story with our friends and neighbors, both near and far? I think he was thankful for those 35 or so volunteers who come out to the Sharium series every night. I'm confident of that. Faithful attenders of the Truth for Today and the Hope for Tomorrow series. I think maybe he would have been thankful for the love and the encouragement we give to one another through the variety of challenges that many of us face. And they are significant. Many of you know that. Could it be that he was thankful that we enjoy the fellowship of brothers and sisters right here in Sutherland And we show as an example our Christian unity to our community around us. Could he be thankful for the fact that I answered the phone when the nominating committee called? Ooh. Did he see that? And how I answered, shall we say, cheerfully? Enthusiastically? Could he have been thankful for me doing that? Could he have been thankful because he saw us encouraging, supporting, praying for our pastor, both behind us and the one to come in 2 weeks? That is Pastor Williams and Pastor Gale. And thank God we have a pastor again. Would you agree? So was he thankful? Was it pleasing to him to see how we interact with each other? How we have love for one another? There must be a lesson in this account of thanksgiving for all of us. And this may be it. Whatever happens to us, whatever circumstances come our way, whatever challenges, trials, and sufferings we may be called upon to endure in this life, and I know that many of you are enduring significant challenges at this point, still, we like Jesus can still give thanks. We can still praise God with the assurance and the confidence that all of his sustaining power, all of his sufficient grace will see us through to the end. You see, Jesus understood this. And friends, we must understand and believe it as well. So Jesus understood that night that he was transitioning from the old to the new. I love that word, inaugurating, when I heard it this morning. That just describes it so well. In a matter of a few hours here, the old would be gone. You remember that old system? Really what it boiled down to. Stop and think. Here back in the wilderness, how many years was it before Christ? A couple thousand. And so they were into this repetitive system. Confess, slaughter, sacrifice, clean up. Confess, slaughter, sacrifice, clean up. Think how many centuries that had gone on. Let's just say if you lived to be 100 years old, think of all the times you'd be involved in that. The old system was going away. You know, the old system of, we can do that? You know that statement? All that you say, we will do. We can do that. Confess, slaughter, sacrifice, clean up. It was a time of transition. The new covenant was being put into place. Christ was now offering as a gift to us his flesh and blood. This is the night that symbolism met reality. And that is why we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Look there in verse 25 again. In the same manner he took this cup, and when he had supped, he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. New Testament meaning New Covenant. Okay? So you see, under this new covenant, we depend on nothing what? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Turn to Hebrews 9:12. We're going to read quickly three verses out of Hebrews 9 and Hebrews 7. Recall, Hebrews was written to a body of Jews who were trying to hold on to the old system. And I have to say, we have them to thank. And when we get to heaven, we're going to need to do that, because Paul came out under the influence of the Holy Spirit, obviously, with this wonderful book to the Hebrews, to the Jews. These are the people who are struggling with this, explaining this whole system and the transition that had taken place here. Let's read Hebrews 9:12. Speaking of Christ here, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Quickly turn over to chapter 7, verse 27. Speaking first of the high priest system, the high priest who needed not daily, as those high priests who offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's sins, for this he did once when he offered up himself. Now quickly turn to Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Jesus Christ died once for all. No more repetition. No more confess, slaughter, sacrifice, cleanup. That was also a rather significant cultural change. You know, that was really a huge transition. Jesus freely gives us his flesh and blood for our sins. And that is why we call it the Lord's Supper, because it is all about what he has done for us. Both covenants demand the same thing. What is that? Perfect obedience. How many of us can deliver on that? None of us can. But Jesus Christ can. He can deliver, and he does deliver, simply at the request of a broken heart. Jesus presents to his Father his flesh and blood on our behalf, yours and mine. He covers us with his own sacrificial death. This is presented in the place of the mess that we have created. And oh, how it pleases him to do so. Now, just thinking about this week, you don't suppose that he comes up to the Father. I mean, there's a number of texts in Hebrews that say, come boldly. Do you think Jesus comes anyway except for boldly to the Father to present you before the Father? No. He enthusiastically presents you before the Father. It's with love and enthusiasm and encouragement that he says, here's my son, here's my daughter. Thank God for that. It pleases him to come to his Father and say that he is covering for us. 1 Corinthians 12:9. Wonderful text. I hope you have it memorized. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. In effect, Jesus is saying, Wendell, got you covered. Gary, you're covered. Tom, got you covered. So I trust that you have accepted this covering gift this morning, that Jesus is so willing, so pleased, and so thankful to have provided for you free of charge. Here at Sutherland, we practice open communion service. At this time, we're going to invite you to partake of the ordinance of humility. There's a group that meets in here, which is a couples group. There is a group that meets in the ALC. I believe that is the men group. Is that right, James? And then in the back room, there's a ladies group. And I'm happy to tell you, children, that there is yet another story for you. We got a little confused on the story issue, so we got two today for the price of one. And Susan is going to have a story. Where at, Susan? Right down here in front. So if you'd like to hear another story during the communion service, by all means. Please, at this time, feel free to join in to the groups that we've mentioned. We'll see you back in a few minutes for the communion service. Thank you, and God bless. Continue on with our worship this morning as we begin the communion portion of this service. I would like you to think, I'd like you to imagine in your mind the thankfulness with which Jesus views your acceptance of his salvation. Think how he is pleasured. Think how he is so willing and so pleased to give you the salvation that he died for, to come into your life and then to present you spotless before the Father there in heaven at the throne of the universe. It's almost unimaginable, I agree. But let's think about that as we move into the next portion here of our service. I'm so thankful that Jesus covers us with his flesh and his blood. At this time, I'm going to ask first Wendell to have prayer for the bread symbolizing Christ's flesh, and then Lee will have our prayer regarding the wine symbolizing Christ's blood for us. Let's bow our heads at this time.
Loving, precious Father, thank you so much for the sacrifice you gave for us, for the love that you have for us when you were ready to go on the cross. We were on your mind, and we're so thankful for that. Help us this morning not to take these things lightly, but to realize the meaning behind them, to not get used to doing this, but to do it for you, Lord. And thank you for that love. Amen.
Loving Lord Jesus, take our minds back to that night when you initiated this special time and service. I want to thank you for our family here in Sutherland, Lord. I want to thank you for the privilege of being able to serve you in whatever capacity that you would call. And I want to thank you, Lord, this morning for your willingness and for your love that you showed when you allowed yourself to be tortured and your blood shed for the forgiveness of sin. Truly, you are the Lamb of God, Lord, and we recognize that, and we thank you for that. And this morning, we just ask, Lord, that you would forgive us for each time that we thought thoughts that weren't pure, or we said words that we shouldn't have said, or that we've done things that were displeasing in your sight. Lord, we're sorry. We don't want to be like that. And we just depend on you to cover us with your precious blood and your righteousness that we can and will be able to be with you eternally. So, Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice in your name. Amen.
Amen. As we prepare up here to hand out the trays with the implements on them, please be thinking of something that you might like to share that you are thankful for this morning. Maybe a praise, it could be a prayer request, or simply a thanksgiving in your heart. We'll have time for a few of those while we are passing out the implements.
I want to thank the Lord for the Sutherland Church family. It has meant so much to me to have a church family. And I want to say thank you, Lord, because there's nothing more peaceful in my heart than to be in a place where the Lord wants me to be and be doing Amen. What the Lord wants me to be doing.
Amen. Thank you, Abby.
I would like to thank God for his undying mercy for me and my husband, who is so willing to forgive my trespasses also, and my children and all my friends, and especially thankful for Virginia and her sister who's here today.
Amen.
Too. Thanks.
Thank you, Darlene.
I'd like to thank the Lord for giving me the ability to come to church and go to the meetings at night. The old devil, he takes my breath away and hopes that I won't make it, but I keep a coming and keep a pushing. And I'd like prayers so that I can keep a coming. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Jackie. You're a good example for us. Yes. Vance, you have someone back there?
Thankful for my family, and especially my church family, and also May and Vance, and also Mark and Cheryl. I don't know what I'd do without them. So thank you so much for everything.
you, Tilly. Now there's a hand down here in front with Joy. Oh, I'm sorry. Ruth Ann. The red microphone.
Now, I'm also thankful. Truly, we're blessed to have this message, to be in this church. And I often wonder, why, God, did you bring me here to this message in this church? And I still don't know why, but I am so thankful for this, the word that he gives us every day.
Amen. Yes, Vance? Go ahead, Vance. For Joy, is it?
I'm thankful for my family and friends. I love them so dearly. And another thing I'm thankful for is another new grandbaby boy. The miracle of watching it to be born is absolutely a miracle. Amen. And after trying for so long, my Heather finally had what something she wished for. And he answered her prayers.
Amen. Thank you, Joy. Rudy?
Express my thanks to our Heavenly Father for his utter, unbelievable faithfulness. Thursday was the last day that you could submit the taxes for 08 without incurring penalties, and I finally got in under the wire and paid my taxes and finally found out how much I made that year, which I really don't have much of a clue about any of that. The way I keep track of my business is I have a cardboard box, and when I fill a prescription, it goes in the cardboard box, and I've used the same box for 20 years, so I know how full it's supposed to be at a certain time of the year. And, you know, through all of these things in the economy, and I've had a couple of doctors retire, and I've been fired different times, and then more accounts come along, but my income is always about the same, and the box is always full at about the same point in time, and Amen. It's all together due to the faithfulness of our Father, and Amen. I really do appreciate it.
Amen. Thank you, Rudy. Joy.
I just want to say I'm really glad that what the world says is not true. You know, the definition of love is such a shallow thing, and how blessed we are to have a revelation of what God's definition of love is, and how it's not just static, but it's a growing revelation. The idea that God could have this kind of love for us, that it could last for eternity, that it's not dependent on what we are like, but on what He is like. And it seems each year I find more about that love. It makes eternity desirable. I used to hate the idea of eternity. It was scary. I saw nothing on my best day that ever was desirable. Forever? Forever, guys. But as the years go by and I see more of this love of God, I read about the ebb and flow between the Father and the Son, and about how they invite us to participate with it. Yeah, I just want to say thank you. Thank Amen. You very, very much.
Amen. Thank you, Joy. Time for one more.
I am so thankful that me being a sinner, God gives me eternal life through Jesus. And the reward He brings with us, He gives us a life like His own. Amen. And no one can describe what His life is like. But we'll get to see Him face to face, and I'm so thankful.
Amen. Thank you, Nona. And thanks to each one of you for taking a moment to share.
For I have received that which the Lord also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
You long to have a heart like Jesus? Turn with me to Psalms 117. Just as we close, have you ever wanted to memorize an entire chapter of the Bible? Many of you have, I know. Psalms 117 is a good chapter to start off with. Spirit of Prophecy tells us, as Jesus was leaving the upper room that Thursday night, almost 2,000 years ago, he had a song on his lips. What do you suppose that song was? Psalms 117. Let's say it together, read it together in closing. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord.